Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Thursday. Great to have you in live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1, 1 hour from now. Greg Cosell, NFL meat sandwich. You bet football, you play fantasy football, you just love to get smarter with football. Greg Cosell, 1 hour from now. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you?
This is the last day of 2020. I'm doing wonderful.
Is the last day.
Wonderful. The last day of this wretched year. Peace out, 2020. Good riddance.
That's, I feel the exact same way.
Great things ahead.
Great things ahead. Not good things, great things ahead.
We made it, guys.
We did. We got through it. That was interesting yesterday. I talked yesterday, starting the show, about the power of marketing and how, like, Brett Favre is one of you and Wranglers and Walmart and that little razor kit he's got. That feels very us. And Tom Brady is more expensive watches, supermodel wife, Uggs. That's more up there. We tend to get jealous, but it's interesting. So Bruce Arians was talking about Tom Brady in this season as we embark here in a week or two in the playoffs. Here's Bruce Arians, coach of Tom.
That's Super Bowl or bust. That's the goal every year. Mm-hmm. And you can't get to the Super Bowl if you don't get in the playoffs. You know, so getting into the playoffs was huge for us. And it's been a fun year. There's a lot of football left, and we're really excited to be playing.
I disagree. I don't think it's Super Bowl or bust. Let me take you back to Peyton Manning goes to the Denver Broncos. Now, like Brady, he's kind of a free agent. He chose the best team. Denver was good. They'd made the playoffs the year before. Peyton Manning was just 36. He goes to a much more respectable franchise. Denver has always been very well run. Can't find the next Elway, but very run. He has very good stats. See if these sound familiar. 37 touchdowns, 11 picks, a 105 passer rating. Turned an 8-8 team respectable to 13-3. He lost in the playoffs. His first playoff game lost. And the feeling was, all right, it was a success. They did go into the playoffs with Tebow. But the sense was Peyton Manning was great in Denver. Tom Brady, like Peyton, chooses the best fit for him, Tampa. He's 7 years older. Now, think about that. LeBron had his 36th birthday yesterday. Do you think I'm going to judge LeBron at 43, same as I am today at 36? 7 years for pro athletes, I don't know, seems significant. Tom delivers great stats. See if these sound familiar. 36 touchdowns, 11 picks, passer rating over 100. He turns around a losing, dysfunctional franchise, 7-9 to probably this weekend 11-5. And if he loses, he will be crushed. So Brady is much older, turns around a much more dysfunctional franchise. Peyton Manning and Denver went 13-3. The division, the rest of the division Peyton Manning faced that year, won 13 games total. Tom Brady goes to a division with a preseason Super Bowl favorite, New Orleans, Hall of Fame coach and quarterback, and Matt Ryan, by the way, is going to get Hall of Fame votes too. He's a former MVP. If Tom Brady loses in the first round of the playoffs, why isn't he successful? By the way, did Peyton Manning face a pandemic? Peyton Manning got OTAs. Peyton Manning got a preseason. Peyton Manning played in a weaker AFC. Peyton Manning played in a weaker division. Peyton Manning, 7 years younger, it was seen as a success. Tom Brady's 43, worse franchise, harder division, harder conference, better quarterbacks in his division. And by the way, year two always feels easier. LeBron won a championship in year two in Miami, then year two in Cleveland, and year two in Los Angeles. Peyton Manning year two got to the Super Bowl. We all sort of understand year one, moving your entire family, offense, coach, system, teammates is tough. I mean, hell, Aaron Rodgers struggled last year, and he didn't have to move or play with new guys. He just got a new coach. Look at the leap Aaron's made. Year one, Matt LaFleur. Year two. Just saying, if Tom loses, didn't he do exactly what we thought? Take a dysfunctional franchise and turn them into winners in the playoffs? Of course he's not going to win the division. Peyton Manning didn't have this Saints roster and Drew Brees and Sean Payton in that division. To me, it's not a Super Bowl or bust. Tom's done everything I've asked in year one. This is absolutely, I predicted, a wild card and a win. But if he loses, let's not go crazy. Peyton did, and we still saw it overwhelmingly as a success. It's interesting on the marketing. Peyton's one of us. Tom's supermodel, aspirational Uggs, expensive watches. He's out there. We're still trying to discredit Tom Brady. Brady's team that he left is now a train wreck, New England. Peyton's team that he left, the Colts, won 11 games. Just saying. So Troy Aikman must be a much better sleeper than I am. I am not a great sleeper. I am a 4 or 5 hours, and then it's just, staring at the ceiling. So Troy Aikman is talking about when Dak comes back, the Cowboys have to, they're going to give Dak a new contract. Now, as you well know, if you've listened to this show, everybody in Dallas kept coming on the show and guaranteeing me Dak would get a long-term deal. And I kept saying, well, they're paying everybody else. Why won't they pay Dak? They didn't. They gave him a franchise tag. And so Troy Aikman says, don't worry about Dak. Don't worry about Dak. He's going to get his money, and if he does, I feel great. Here's Troy.
I wouldn't hesitate at all to pay him. I would sleep real good if I had Dak Prescott locked up with a big contract and not be worrying about his commitment to the team and commitment to winning.
Now, that's interesting. Commitment to the team and commitment to winning. Isn't that kind of the base of what I expect, the old Chris Rock joke? I love my kids. Yeah, that's the minimum as a parent. I think every top quarterback in the league, including Dak and Andy Dalton, even Baker Mayfield, who I'm critical of, I think they're committed to winning and committed to teammates. Some guys have egos. Some guys are goofy. Some guys aren't as responsible, Drew Lock. But I think they're all kind of committed base level to winning and their teammates. I think most quarterbacks are, they've grown up. They know the value of quarterbacking, the importance of it. But I'm just going to play a little what if. If Dallas beats the Giants Sunday, and it's going to be close. It's a 24-23 game. Giants are probably the better bet, but, Dallas, let's say they win. And Washington with a third-string quarterback loses. Dallas is in the playoffs. And Andy Dalton will have gone 5-2 since the bye. And as we talked about yesterday, it's not really fair to judge Andy Dalton. No preseason, inheriting a new coach and a new system and a new team, concussion, COVID. Let's start at the bye with Andy. In fact, let's start at the bye with the Cowboys. They're a different team. If he wins Sunday, he goes 5-2 in his last 7 games. And as I showed you yesterday, the numbers with Dak are virtually the same. And he will want $38 million. That's more than Aaron Rodgers. That's more than Russell Wilson. That's more than Tom Brady. It's almost more than anybody not named Patrick Mahomes. Does that seem like a good business decision? Let me ask you this. If you think Dak is a good quarterback, I do. Good. Not special, not great. Let's go to the last 5 good quarterbacks who got big contracts. Jimmy G, Jared Goff, Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, Matt Stafford. I'll even throw in Carson Wentz. Are any of those teams happy with a contract? I'm going to go big fat N-O on that. None of them are. None of them are happy. And I'm not even going to throw the what-ifs out. Oh, yes, I am. What if Andy Dalton beats the Eagles just did and the Giants down the stretch? And the offense looks good, certainly did against Philadelphia. And what if it does Sunday? When Dak last year couldn't generate a touchdown against an injury-ravaged Eagles team. If Dalton wins Sunday and they look decent offensively, he generates all sorts of touchdowns and beats both of his rivals. Dak couldn't beat one and generate a touchdown against a Philadelphia team that was throwing to lawn furniture. I'm just saying. Heaven forbids Dalton wins a playoff game. I won't even go there. So again, it's not anti-Dak. But at the end of this weekend, and it'll be close, it'll come down to the last couple of minutes of the game. If Andy Dalton wins and goes 5-2 down the stretch and has the exact same numbers as Dak, and Dak's wanting $37, $38 million off an ugly injury, man, Troy's a better sleeper than I am, because I would struggle with it. Because I see the Jimmy G contract and the Wentz contract and the Stafford contract and the Goff contract and the Matt Ryan contract, and I don't think any of those teams like that contract today. We'll see. That's why football's great. It's why the Giants-Dallas is two losing records. They're not even close. These are right now 5-6 wins teams. That's one of the most intriguing NFL games of the weekend. It is fascinating. Word is if the Giants don't win, they may clean house in their front office with Gettleman. I read a story about that this morning. So there's a lot on the line. It's not that I'm rooting for Andy Dalton. But, folks, if he goes 5-2 and gets to the playoffs, I'm just saying, and beats both the Eagles and the Giants down the stretch, Dak couldn't even generate a touchdown against Philadelphia. Want 38. They may franchise again. That's a lot of lettuce. That is a lot of lettuce.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
USA Today has an article today. If NFL voters had any guts, they'd name Josh Allen MVP. It does take guts sometimes to vote somebody the MVP when there's a sense overwhelmingly of a very popular athlete. Years ago, sports reporter Fred Hickman voted for Allen Iverson MVP. Shaq got every vote except one. Shaq still holds it against him. Hickman was criticized. How can you vote for that? But Allen Iverson was incredibly valuable to the Sixers. He got the Sixers to a finals. What were they without him? I'm not even sure if they were a playoff team without him. I didn't think it was outrageous. Here's what's interesting. Aaron Rodgers is going to be, and I do think Aaron is incredibly valuable, but Fox Bets has the odds for the MVP, and it's really a two-person race, Aaron and Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen is considered kind of a complete long shot. I don't think he's going to win it, but it's kind of ridiculous that he's not in the same class, and I'll give an example. So valuable to me is, what do you work with? How important are you? So Mahomes, let's take him, works with a tight end having the greatest tight end season ever. Arguably the best tight end in football. Arguably a top five tight end of all time. A wide receiver named Tyreek Hill, 15 touchdowns, 1,200 yards, fastest player in the NFL. And a head coach in Andy Reid, who's probably the best play caller, he and Sean Payton, last 20 years in football. Aaron Rodgers works with an offensive line that's rated number one in pass protection, a wide receiver that leads the league in TD receptions, a running back who's the fourth leading rusher, and a young, clever, progressive offensive coach. Josh Allen works with Stephon Diggs, and that's where it ends. The offensive line is the worst of the three in average, running back slightly below average, head coach defensive-minded, and the tight end, you tell me, a non-factor. It's not called BVP, best quarterback, right? It's just most valuable quarterback. MVP, most best quarterback, that's not it. It's most valuable. He's also, by the way, the most valuable asset to his team's overall offense. He's got 8 rushing touchdowns, along with his 34 passing touchdowns. So he is intricate and important for the running game. He's just doing more with less. I mean, people say he's got Stephon Diggs. Even look at what he's done with Stephon Diggs this year. Stephon Diggs was with the very capable Kirk Cousins for years. He averaged 900 receiving yards, 73 catches, and 6 touchdowns. Without a preseason for a young Josh Allen, he's going to end up with probably 1,500 yards, 125 catches, and 8 or 9 touchdowns. That's with no preseason and no OTA. So all I'm making is the argument that it should be a three-person race here. I would vote for Aaron, but I've said I would vote for Josh in a close second. I think he's as important and working with less than Aaron with a defensive coach. And defensive coaches see the world differently. They want you to run the ball, eat the clock, win by 3, and get out of town. offensive coaches, their egos are in clever and multiple sets and giving you a different look. That's part of the ego of being an offensive coach. Those are considered the smarter of the coaches, the offensive coaches, the Sean McVays, the Kyle Shanahans, the offensive wizardry, right? The defensive guys are like tough guys. They beat up the offensive guy in an octagon. You win, you play football, special teams, Brian Flores. You don't want to mess with Tomlin or Brian Flores. They're tough guys. So, I mean, I just kind of look at Josh Allen. I think it's kind of ridiculous. It's not a three-team race. And I think it's ridiculous that you can't even put him in second without getting pushback. I would have it Rodgers slightly, and I mean slightly above Josh Allen. In fact, Sunday could change it for me, and Mahomes actually a little more distant third.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Greg Cosell in a couple minutes. This is interesting. The Chiefs will not play Patrick Mahomes this week. I would play him. Andy Reid's smarter than me, but I'd play him. Three of the last four quarterbacks who got a bye and didn't play week 17 have lost. And they're all great. Big Ben to the Jags, MVP Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, 15-1, earned a bye, didn't play week 17, lost. The only winner was Drew Brees 2 years ago, and his first pass in the playoff game was picked. He was rusty. Just something to think about. And by the way, that means his last game playing, Patrick, he did not play well against Atlanta. He was 24 of 48 or 44. He had an 80 passer rating. And four times in December, his four straight games a passer rating under 100. So he's not playing well. So he's going to go from December 27th to January 17th. And he wasn't sharp on December 27th. It's something. Belichick didn't like to give Brady or anybody a bye. So it's very reminiscent of Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, like Mahomes, had an MVP in a Super Bowl, went 15-1, and they gave him the final week off. He came out against the Giants, and the whole team was awful. And unlike Mahomes, Aaron's last game he did play in week 16, he was unbelievable. I think you could look it up. He had four or five touchdown passes. So I don't think Mahomes is playing particularly well. Of their defensive issues in the red zone, it's something to think about. Belichick never liked to give people time off. Tony Dungy did, so there's two ways to do it, but it's interesting. With that, Greg Cosell, love him on Thursdays, every Thursday at this time. 41 years NFL Films is joining us. You know, it's funny about that, Greg. Some coaches give guys off, some don't. We'll get to Mahomes in a second, but I want to start about with this, is that one of the reasons baseball, I was a big baseball fan as a kid.
Me too.
It's very numbers oriented. And one of the things I like about football, there's less numbers. It's more about winning and performance. And I just like that. It's a fight every Sunday. Whoever wins, you move on. They're the champ. And I look at Lamar Jackson, and I know there's issues, but I've seen him in second halves against the Colts defense. And I've seen him in these games have a lot of touch. He's not a beautiful thrower, but I look at that team, Greg, and I don't think their quarterback is what worries me. There are times there's things I worry about, but you watch every film. Is he advancing? Are they dangerous? What do you make of Baltimore going into the playoffs if they get there?
Well, they're dangerous for sure. Their run game is really difficult to defend. They've actually expanded their run game concepts this year. Their pass game clearly works off their run game. It's not the foundation of what they do. But one area in which they're so good, Colin, is the red zone. And when you score touchdowns in the red zone, you know, I was researching for a piece I did for my matchup show this week on Lamar in the red zone. The last two seasons, he has 44 touchdown passes and no interceptions in the red zone.
Wow.
And they are really, really good with pass game concepts in the red zone. That's where Greg Roman and James Urban do such a good job. Their pass game concepts are phenomenal. They threw a touchdown this week to Dez Bryant, in which everybody probably thought it was a bust because Bryant was open in the tight red zone. It was not a bust. And if you break the play down, which I did, it's not a bust at all. They're just so good attacking and breaking down zone coverage concepts in the red zone.
Yeah, that's a gem stat, because that's I look at them and I wouldn't want to face them. And all I know is in these big third downs, they're a very good third down team. They're a very good red zone team. And Greg, as you know, the playoffs, you win if you get touchdowns, you lose if you get field goals, and they get touchdowns. So I want to go to Tua. So he's been benched twice. You can't. Yep. You can fool me, but you can't fool guys in the locker room. If he goes to Buffalo and gets benched a third time, you know, you can try to convince him he's a home run. But what does the tape say about Tua? Because I do believe yards per game passing, he doesn't feel dynamic. He doesn't feel special. What does the tape say?
No, and I think that what the tape shows, and that's all we're talking about. We're talking about what the tape shows here. What the tape shows right now is a quarterback that's struggling to see things clearly. So what happens is they're defining route concepts for him, and the throws are there, Colin, and he's not making those throws. And to me, that's the reason he's getting benched. Not because you might miss one here or there, or because you get sacked, because the Raiders actually did a very good job with a lot of their rush concepts. But the point is they're designing concepts, and he's not turning it loose to the receiver that should be getting the football. So right now he's just not seeing things clearly. And the other thing to keep in mind, their offense with him is pretty condensed. And I know a lot of people are probably saying, oh, well, he threw the deep ball at Alabama. Well, they're with him every day with that coaching staff. So if they run a condensed offense and with fairly basic route concepts with him, then they believe that's what he can do at this point.
Yeah.
And they're not going to ask him in their mind to do things that they don't think he can do.
Yeah, I think it's well said. So I said, even though with Fox Bet, it's Rodgers, Mahomes, and a distant third Josh Allen MVP, he's a fascinating kid. He didn't get recruited out of high school. He goes to Wyoming. You and I talked about this before he got drafted. He was a wild pony. He was all over the map his first year in the NFL, his first 20 games in the NFL. He just wasn't accurate. I watch him this year, and I tell you what, he is a handful. He reminds me so much of a young Big Ben. He can run. He's huge. He's got the arm. Are you a little shocked at the jump from even mid-last year to this year?
Well, what is really fascinating is the increase in precise ball placement.
Yes.
Because, you know, we know what he is in just in terms of a physical talent, but he is now making throws that require pace, touch. I mean, he made a throw this past week to Dawson Knox that it's what we call a firm touch throw. And those are the throws that make a quarterback a passer, not a thrower. And he's gotten so much better at that. And those short throws now are precise. He puts the ball in positions where receivers can run after catch, because run after catch is a quarterback stat, not a receiver stat. And it's truly amazing. But talent level, you know, it's funny. And you know, you and I will start talking about college quarterbacks soon. But what we always hear is Trevor Lawrence is a generational talent. Well, I have no problem saying this. And if people think I'm wrong, fine. But Josh Allen's more talented than Trevor Lawrence. So I guess is Josh Allen a generational talent?
No, I mean, I love that you said that. But from an arm standpoint, there's not a lot out there that looks like Josh Allen. That's all
no.
I know. He's incredible. So in the last month, I'm getting a lot of heat because I've said, listen, when Pittsburgh was 11-0, I kept saying, I don't care what the record is. They don't look like an 11-0 offense to me. You can't win playoff games with that. And now I've said in the last month with Kansas City, something doesn't look right to me. They're just not clicking offensively. Mahomes' passer rating's down. They're still dangerous as heck, but they don't quite feel right offensively. What is it, or am I wrong?
Well, Mahomes did not play well this past week. And again, all I'm telling you is what the tape showed, Colin. You know that's what I do. I'm not making a bold judgment about what Patrick Mahomes is going to be, you know, 2 weeks from now. But in this past game, he was indecisive in the pocket. I don't think he saw things particularly well. He rushed himself. He missed some routine throws with poor ball location. I thought he moved and drifted when he didn't need to. And what he did when he did that is he created his own pressure. He was a little loose this week. Now, he has that tendency anyway, and then makes special plays. But the special plays did not happen this week.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm just telling you what this week showed. But he did not play particularly well.
You know, I really believe Greg Cosell, 41 years NFL films. I believe, and it was one of the things I noticed very early about Michael Jordan, the game looked easy to him. It looks easy by Justin Herbert. It just comes very, it really comes easy. And I watch Aaron right now, and he is almost smiling as he plays. Have they simplified the offense? Have they made it more Aaron conducive? Have they... He's playing with an ease that I just don't remember him playing with.
Yeah, I guess the way I'd answer that is he's in his second year in an offense with Matt LaFleur that is structurally different than the offense he was in with Mike McCarthy. And I'd say it this way, Colin. With LaFleur's offense, it's very play design, scheme-based. That's sort of that offense. It's progression-based. I think with McCarthy, I think that it was more matchup based. So I think now in his second year with LaFleur, he has a very good sense, because Rodgers is smart as a whip. He has a very good sense of the whole play design and scheme and progressions. And you, if you notice one thing, Colin, when you watch Rodgers, notice he doesn't run around as much as he's done the last 4 or 5 years.
No question.
He's playing very much within the structure and the timing and rhythm of an offense that's ultimately built that way. Because don't forget, Matt LaFleur's background, because he's a young coach, is Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay. So it's very much schematic and progression-based, and I'm sure Rodgers is just feeling more and more comfortable within that context.
So sometimes there's things I can't explain, like Mitch Trubisky's recent success. Not a fan, but Dave Wannstedt told me at the start of the year, he said, if you have a good defense, you can win a bunch of games with Mitch. I'm not sure if you can win the game, but what has Chicago done in the last 3 to 4 weeks? They're dropping 30 points a game, Greg.
Yeah, but their offense, and again, Trubisky's no different than he was before they've done this. They've run the ball really effectively. They keep their pass game very basic, very simple. He's not a drop back passer. That's his limitation. So ultimately, if you can do play action boot, RPOs, stay ahead of schedule, you know, play pretty good defense, then he can do what Wannstedt said. He can be an effective quarterback, an efficient quarterback within that context. But there are pretty significant limitations to his game. And if a certain game plays out in which they need to drop back and throw, you'll see those limitations come out.
So the Rams, I like the Rams over the Seahawks. And then at the end of the first half and end of the game, Russell Wilson, just playing with incredible urgency and accuracy, did what Russell Wilson does. That's why it separates him from the Jared Goffs and the Kirk Cousins. He just makes plays in big, crucial spots. But it is interesting. I do believe when Seattle's running game is healthy, they're very viable. They were healthy Sunday, and they still clunked around a lot offensively.
Yep.
Give me your thoughts about, is their personnel a little overrated? Is their offensive line struggling? But what do you see with Seattle's offense?
I don't think Russell Wilson's playing very good football right now, Colin, to be honest with you. Can he make a splash play? Of course he can. But he's been indecisive. He's been impatient in the pocket. He's tentative, turning it loose. I think he leaves the pocket prematurely now. And again, he can make those kinds of plays, but even plays, he had a 24-yard completion to Lockett on the fourth quarter touchdown drive in which he ran up in the pocket for no reason at all and was late with the throw. It's just Lockett was wide open on the crosser. But he is not playing real well right now, and he hasn't been for a number of weeks. And if you notice, they're not scoring that many points on a consistent basis. So I think they're probably trying to figure out what they want their offense to be. You know, they obviously let Russ cook for the first 6-7 weeks, and he was phenomenal. And then it sort of changed. And now, will they go back to running the ball as their foundation, or will they try to figure this out still putting the ball in Russell's hands? But he's going to have to play better, I think.
Yeah, I think you're figuring it out. That's what it looks like on my television set. They're trying to figure out exactly what they are right now, and it hasn't been fluid. So I've been on 2 days I've been on this that, listen, if you go to Dak and Andy Dalton's first 4 years in the league, it's the same quarterback. If you go to their last 6 or 7 games under this staff, you know, it feels like the same quarterback. Is that I think Dak's in 2020 a better athlete. He can move the pocket more with him. But I've always thought Andy Dalton with protection is a very accurate distributor of the football. Doesn't have the biggest arm. He's not the greatest athlete. But I do think they have a chance to win Sunday. And if they do, they're 5-2 off a bye. And Dak couldn't beat Philadelphia at the end of last year. He would have beaten Philadelphia and the Giants this year. And Philadelphia is a lot healthier this year than last year. So I guess I'm in a weird position of defending a quarterback I don't love. But what does the film say to you?
Well, we know what Andy Dalton is. I mean, obviously, they've scored over 30 points in each of the last three games, and Dalton's been pretty efficient, and they've been efficient using him with what he is. Play action, get him out of the pocket a little bit on design boot action. And by the way, I thought Ezekiel Elliott looked the best he has all season last week against the Eagles. So Dalton, you know, Dalton's one of those guys that people like to talk about as not being very good. You know, it's the Kirk Cousins thing. You guys that people say, oh, you got to do better than that. These guys aren't very good, but they can line up and play and be very effective in this league. And Dalton, obviously, the offensive line has not been great this year, but he has good receivers. If the run game works, he can be very efficient. And they scheme plays for him, and that's what you do with quarterbacks like that. You scheme plays.
So let's see, your play of the week is with Andy Dalton.
Yeah, and it's a third down play. It's third and short. And third and short in this league, Colin, is a man-to-man down and distance for the defense. So let's take a look at the play. It's the 52-yard touchdown to CeeDee Lamb. And as I said, this is a third and short play, and what you got was man coverage by the Eagles. And it was a really well-designed play by the Cowboys. Because what you're going to see here is they're going to line up in a 3-by-1 set with a bunch up top. CeeDee Lamb is the outside man in the bunch. Bunch is a good thing when you're anticipating man. Now, there's Nickell Robey-Coleman. He's over the point man, but when CeeDee Lamb goes in motion here, because Robey-Coleman is actually the slot corner, he's going to run with him. Of course, that validates the man coverage. They knew where they were getting that anyway. So what you're going to get here is CeeDee Lamb gets free access off the line. That's what you want. You don't want him jammed off the line. Now, Robey-Coleman jumps outside and takes away the outside. So what happens is Lamb does a great job of cutting inside, and it ends up being a wheel route, and he's just a really good receiver, obviously. But just that kind of design is what I'm talking about. You go third and three. You know what you're going to get. You call a play in which it's a defined read and throw for Andy Dalton, and he can make those.
Yeah, he has for the last 3 weeks. Greg Cosell, NFL Films. Great talking to you. Happy holidays, Greg.
You too, Colin. Thanks a lot.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So Tua said earlier, there's no pressure. I don't feel any pressure. You can pretend like in life there's no pressure. It feels like pressure. So Ryan Fitzpatrick is out, and that means it's on Tua. And I've said this, and Joy said this. They have the number three pick in the draft now, Miami. They're never going to have that again. They have a great defense, a great coach, and tremendous special teams. The quarterback is the thing missing. Their defense is better than Buffalo. Their special teams have been better than Buffalo. Their head coach is at least as good as Buffalo's. The difference is they got Josh Allen and one's got Tua. And we judge quarterbacks almost solely on how they perform under pressure. That's why Kirk Cousins' numbers are unbelievable. But Stephon Diggs said, get me out of here. Because he didn't feel in prime time Kirk Cousins could deliver. And in fairness, he hasn't. That was the Andy Dalton knock for years. The numbers were fine. I mean, a Pro Bowl, it's what's he like in the prime? So this is a prime time game for Tua. This is the biggest game of his career. And if he shrinks, I think it's something. It doesn't matter what I think. But you do lose guys in the locker room. And now you're going to have to stick with Tua. And Joy's been saying, let's just let him play his way through it. So here you go. Now, Buffalo's not a great defensive team, but they're very situationally smart and well-coached. They may sit some starters. You can tell yourself there's no pressure. This team's got a Super Bowl-level special teams and defense, and they've got a playoff-winning head coach. That stuff you can't argue. It's quarterback. That's the missing piece here. So I am fascinated to watch it. I wish Buffalo would play all their starters. There's a lot of Mahomes is not playing. There's some belief that you won't see a ton of Josh Allen. Although again, I'm kind of a player dude. I think it's a rhythm thing. I want my guys, you know, Aaron Rodgers always talks about this. A lot of being quarterback is, all right, you get the playbook, you get the week's schemes. You want to get the players in the right spot for the play, and you want to get into a rhythm early. You know, that was always a Peyton Manning thing. You start slow, you are slow. Get into a rhythm. I would like Mahomes and Josh Allen to stay in that rhythm, even if you don't have a bye, just keep playing. Brady always played week 17, stay in the bye. So I hope Buffalo plays everybody, because I think when you're young and talented, old teams I get time off. Young, talented, let them play. Just let them play.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.